Ross Molin Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back for episode 228 of the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP 228, presented by Bolin Media. I am your host, of course, Ross Bolin. And today, I am solo in the studio, no co-hosts, but for a different reason. We've got two very special and very different interviews on today's show that I think you will enjoy substantially. I'm going to get to those in a minute. But first, if you're new to the Ross Bolin Podcast, almost every episode of our show is broken down into segments, which you can find with time cues below in the description for each episode. Now, some episodes with special guests or special topics are going to be an exception to that rule and will be less segmented. This episode is one of those episodes. But typically, the idea is we segment our shows and we timestamp all the different topics so that you can consume at your own pace based on your work or school or whatever schedule rules your life. You don't have to have listened to a single one of the preceding 227 episodes in order to enjoy RBP 228. But if you like today's podcast, go back. Look at all those backlog sodes for you to soak in and enjoy when you've got the time. Have at them. Follow us on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast, where every day we fill up our story with photos and videos sent in by you, our listeners, the RBP gang. I collect most of those photos and videos through Snapchat. At WR Bolin is my Snapchat. Keep the good snaps coming. I'll take the best ones every day and throw them up on the Instagram story. We are on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod, and you can also find us on Facebook if you're the middle-aged aunt of one of our listeners. RBP 228 is brought to you by Lisa. Your mattress may very well be the most important purchase you make for your home. In fact, I would argue that it is, bar none, it's the most important purchase. It's more important than the TV. The TV is the only one that I ever, like, in my head, I'm like, they're neck and neck, but no. If I had to pick, I'm picking the mattress. I can watch TV on my fucking phone. I can't sleep on my phone. It's the most important purchase you make for your home. So you have to ask yourself, do you even remember where your mattress is from? Do you wake up every morning feeling like you could have done better? Or do you wake up every morning feeling like $1 million, like you won the fucking lottery because your mattress is so damn comfortable? I do, on my hybrid, by Lisa. It's time for you to join me. Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life. Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you. And to Lisa, a bed is more than just a place to sleep. It's a place for relaxation and rest. All of their products at Lisa, thoughtfully designed to go beyond creating a comfortable bed, to transform your bedroom into a sanctuary you actually want to spend time in. Their most advanced luxury hybrid mattress is made with premium foams and springs for enhanced pressure relief with edge-to-edge support. This is the one I have, most comfortable bed I've ever laid eyes or body on. The hybrid is thoughtfully designed with the best of both worlds. Couldn't more highly recommend it. Get yourself one. Lisa believes all people should have access to deep rest and relaxation, and as such, they make it easy for their customers to know they've made the right choice through their social impact initiatives tied to each purchase. Lisa donates one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. To date, they've donated more than 33,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits. Lisa mattresses are made in the USA. In-home delivery and setup is available. Financing is also available. Don't miss out, RBP gang. Live healthier, live happier by resting deeper. Order today and get 15% off any mattress for a limited time at lisa.com/RBP. Use the promo code RBP. That's LEESA.com/RBP. Promo code RBP. And keep in mind, you also get a 100-night risk-free trial plus free shipping and returns. A few announcements here before we get things started today. First of all, huge, I cannot stress this enough, massive shout, stop whatever you're doing, pay attention to me, listen to me, massive shouts to Ryan and his gorgeous wife, Amy, 3 years and a couple weeks strong and getting better each day. Why a couple weeks? Well, Ryan asked for a shout out to surprise his wife for their anniversary a couple weeks back and I forgot. So, yeah, Amy, listen, that was on Ron, not Ryan. Ryan good, Ron bad. I hope y'all had a great one and have 100 more. Happy birthday, Stephanie. Back on September 26th, I'm sorry I missed your friend's email until now, and I'm sorry I never screenshot any of your Snapchats. Try slightly harder. Shout out Matt McGee. Now subscribe on Patreon. That was the deal. My word is my bond. What's yours? On one of our recent Twitch streams, this dude said he'd pay his dues on Patreon if I shouted him out. So here we are, Matt McGee. Cough it up, bitch. Happy birthday to Meg Capfhammer. I'm just going to leave it at that. You know who you are on Instagram. You know who you are. From your husband, who I can tell you loves you and respects you very much and is incredibly happy to have you based on the email he sent me about you. Thank you for fulfilling your legal obligations and happy birthday, girl. Shouts to Dawson Butter from your boy Brody. This just seems made up. Dawson Butter? Brody? God damn. Shouts to Dawson, sorry, that was just so mind-boggling that it like froze me in my tracks. Shouts to Dawson Butter from your boy Brody for always being there for him and supporting him. And hey, happy birthday, Dawson, while we're at it. Shout out Connor Gleason. That'll be $5.75, playboy. Happy way early birthday, Bryce Adkins, November 29th. Just replay this to yourself on that day. Your girl sent an email or a DM or something way too early. If I try to save it, I'll lose it. You get it now. So just re-listen to this on November 29th. Happy birthday, Justin Chuck Pinchuk, also known as Justin from Long Island. Your boy Nick went through the trouble of calling into the hotline to get you a birthday shout-out, which I have to say is a terrible, terrible strategy, and you got very, very lucky. If you have t-shirt designs, I want them. You got them, I want them. Ross at RossBolinPodcast.com. And I don't mean like any t-shirt, like a hat that's just like, beep. No, I mean like, it needs to be a RBP-related design, or OCC, I guess, or Bolin Media. My brands, for me, for this company, for what we're doing here. RBP, OCC, Bolin Media. If you got shirt ideas, you got a shirt you want to see made, you don't even have to be good at making shirts. If you're like, fuck, I have a really good idea for a Soft for the Weekend shirt, I'm going to throw it at Ross. Hit me, Ross at RossBolinPodcast.com. I do not have any amends. So without further ado, we're going to get into our first segment here. Shep Rose shares the light. All right, now we're joined by reality TV star and very tall rich person with cool name, Shep Rose. How are you doing today, Shep?
Oh, I'm not that rich.
Richer than me.
I don't know.
It's all relative, sir.
Let's get a forensic accountant in here and see what's what.
I assure you, you will win that battle.
Well, it's a rising tide lifts all boats, does it not?
So first of all, have you ever done a podcast before?
Good question. I had a podcast. I did my own podcast.
Oh.
And I unceremoniously but not contentiously stopped. I love talking to people. I hope everybody enjoys this. That's the easy part, right?
Right, right.
But and I'm not going to name any names, but I just, you know, I was spending a lot of time trying to wrangle people to come talk to me, and I was like, what am I doing? Like,
oh,
this
hell.
Isn't what I want. Like,
it's hell, that's the job,
and
though.
And I travel a lot, and I yeah. was, here's where it came to a head. I was on Sunset Boulevard. I had a studio at 1 o'clock. My great, great friend, Jenny Johnson, who's actually from Texas, from Houston.
I've like weirdly used to interact with her on Twitter all the time way back in the
hilarious.
Day.
Yeah, she's
hilarious. Yeah, she's a comedy writer and producer, right?
Yeah. Stand up.
Dude, I sent her kid a signed
copy
of one
kids.
Of my books, her stepkid.
Oh, stepkid. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So,
small world.
Yeah, I guess so. And she was supposed to do the podcast, and she's so gentle. I mean, we're friends. And but she's got a busy life. I totally understand that, right?
Right.
But and of course, I don't know. So I was texting her. We were supposed to do a podcast. I was standing on the side of Sunset Boulevard. I was like, what am I doing? Like, everything's on my shoulders, and I have to depend on other people. I have to ask people favors to help me. And if it doesn't go down, it's on my shoulders. I was like, this is not the position that I want to be in any way, shape, or form. So that's sort of when I was just like, I don't want to do this.
So you pulled the plug. You were like, fuck this.
I did. And I, you know, maybe I'll revisit it at some time. But of course, I'm also in Charleston. I'm not in LA. I'm not in New York. I'm not even in Austin. You know, like there's a limited amount of, I don't know.
Charleston's great though.
Charleston's fantastic, but you don't want to hear me talking to my beer buddies at the end of the bar. I mean, maybe you do.
I very well. Let me ask you this.
I don't want to ask them to do a podcast. And that's the thing. I don't like to ask people for anything.
Got it. Well, have you
found I'm happy to be here.
Then found a job where you didn't have to depend on anybody but
you? It's basically like sales. I mean, it's, you know, a job. No, I don't want to.
But do you know what I mean,
job.
Though? So, yeah. Like, the part you hated about it was that you had to, like, be wrangling people and trying to ask people to come on the show and, like, organize interviews, blah, blah, blah. Have you found a job where, like, shit didn't work that way, though?
Well, I mean, no. Well, you mean in the entertainment, obviously, business. I mean, reality TV's okay.
That's
I'd highly
I mean,
recommend
though.
It, yeah.
Obviously, that's what you do now, is that...
It's like... Yeah, and so...
Doesn't piss you off like podcasting.
Oh, did. Well, I mean, that's another story, but...
is it?
No, I enjoy... Look, I'm myself. I get to be myself, and a lot of people are there organizing everything for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just lazy. Is that what you're getting at?
No, that's not what I'm getting at.
Yeah. So, no, I'm not bitter. I really like the format. Another thing about it is that everyone has one. And there's something about it that... I like a few of them. I've been listening a lot to Making Sense with Sam Harris.
Okay.
He's amazing. Very, very, very bright guy. And he tackles issues that I'm like, holy shit, I am not as smart as these people, but I like sitting in on their conversation.
Sure.
I think Conan O'Brien's is great.
He's fucking funny, man.
His with Martin Short had me literally like crying, laughing.
Conan is still one of the funniest dudes on earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
He doesn't get probably enough credit.
Well, we're giving it to him now.
Now we are, yes. Okay, so Shep, you are, in many people's opinion, the star of Southern Charm on Bravo.
Yeah. That's hard for me to reconcile or grasp or realize. It just is.
Well, let's talk about how you sort of got there or here, right? Y'all, this is not y'all's first run as a show, first of all.
We're done 6 seasons.
But didn't y'all have a break between this newest season? Was there a stopping point in 2016 or was that just a break between seasons?
No. We've rock and rolled.
So this is just the newest season?
It just ended on television in August.
It started in May, right?
Yeah, and usually we film in the fall. We're I don't know if we're gonna do another season.
Okay.
But we're not doing one now. If I had a gun to my head, I would say that they want us to do another season.
Right. So how did
the ratings? I think are pretty good.
I guess how did it come to be that you were a part of Southern Charm?
Right. Okay. So yeah. It sort of was pretty serendipitous. I met Whitney, who's on the show, and he actually created the show. And he was putting together a TV show, and with the help of some other people that you don't know, but you definitely know who Whitney is if you watch the show. And we met and got along really famously, and it just sort
and
of
this
went.
This was in Charleston?
Yeah, it was at a rooftop party in Charleston years and years ago.
Mingling?
New Year's Eve, man. And we had a funny, funny night. And he was like, you know, I want to show an aspect of the South that I don't think many people know about. I think there was a reputation of being sort of honey boo boo.
Oh, that's still very much the reputation.
Yes. Well, I.
You may have cleaned Charleston, sir, but us down here in Texas, we're still very much dealing
Texas
with that.
Texas isn't the South. I mean, well, Texas is Texas.
We have a different version. It's like everybody ride horses to work and shoots guns up in the air at night to celebrate the end of the day or some shit.
Right. Well, yeah.
But sure, yes. Y'all had more of a honey boo boo vibe.
Well, no, the South did, I think, in general. And, I think he wanted to show that the South was a little more sophisticated, and there were some really interesting, colorful characters in the South.
And some real old money.
Yeah, and sort of the, you know, I love like Mark Twain and some other famous Southerners. Louis Grizzard comes to mind. He was a humorist. There's some, the South has produced some pretty prolific, funny, interesting characters.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Designing Women was a great show. I'm just kidding. it actually was pretty good. I mean, I didn't watch it, but I know that a lot of women liked it a lot. But that was sort of, yeah. So anyway, that was the conceit of the show, I think one could say. And then
rooftop party conversation, yeah. One thing leads to another.
One thing leads to another, and here we are sitting talking about it. And, you know, I didn't know, nobody knew what it was going to be. And
you said 6 seasons deep now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's a pretty impressive run for any television show in really any genre.
Yeah.
To go 6 seasons.
It is. And
you feel like you've got a little bit of longevity left, possibly.
Yeah, sure. And it's not easy to have a show that people like. It's just not easy to do, you know?
Why is that? What's difficult about it?
I don't know. Ask TV executives, but they all want that, I would assume, yes. Right?
Oh, you mean it's difficult to make a show that people actually really like?
That respond to and like and
absolutely.
All that.
There's almost an element of luck to it, right? You have to just strike a chord somehow that you almost can't really predict.
Lightning in a bottle. I mean, we've been, I guess, pretty lucky. Just the people that are on the show. I mean, you know, people ask. It's as real as it gets. I mean, people. That's a common question. I mean,
how much is it? How much real? In
nobody tells me what to say. I can guarantee you that.
So you just say whatever the fuck you want.
I do, I mean, I understand. Yeah, I do. And I mean, there's been two babies sort of born on the show. I mean, not on the show, but two cast members had two babies like during the course of the show. That's insane. I mean, like you can't ask for that. I mean, that's not gonna like
right.
That's yeah. So it's been a wild ride.
So for those of y'all who are not familiar, Southern Charm, and this is like the like most standard definition of the show possible. Okay, and I want to hear what you think about this. It chronicles the personal and professional lives of 7 socialites who reside in Charleston, South Carolina. Shep, are you a socialite? What is
a
socialite?
I don't know. I think a socialite is someone who, you know.
Because you can't, it's not just
socializing. I don't like wear tuxedos and stuff on the reg. I mean, I hate tuxedos.
So you're a more casual socialite.
I'm more of I like to travel and have fun. And, I mean, but I'm also a dive bar guy, you know, so. But
you're wearing a cricket polo. You're a more casual guy.
Yeah. Oh, well, I went to their
their
headquarters. Yeah. I got a rep.
They were like, put this shit on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think of a socialite, honestly, is like Upper East Side or Palm Beach. But by the way, I've lived in Palm Beach. I know that world, and I can blend into that world fairly easily, but I don't think it defines me, but that's where I come out.
I think Sex and the City. When I think socialite for some reason, like the way those girls rolled is sort of what I think as a socialite. But then there's also like a, I guess, I don't know if this
Mr.
is.
Mr. Big was a socialite.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, there's a more sophisticated version
of it
too.
Yeah, like the Met Gala kind of thing.
Yeah. It's sort of the more classed up version of it, whereas like Carrie was running around like buying fucking shoes.
Well, there's a bunch of people that like. Women and men and who are like, oh, the next charity event is going to be immaculate, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, there's that hoity-toity.
You must be the Monopoly guy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that from Ace Ventura 2.
Fucking great.
Do not pass go. Do not collect
$200. Absolutely fantastic movie.
It's so weird. Chicaca.
Bumblebee Tuna, your balls are showing. Yeah, it's fucked up, but I use Ace Ventura. Jim Carrey, Ace Ventura, that's like a huge part of my personality and upbringing.
I think I can stand toe-to-toe on that.
Nice. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
you found common ground.
That's right.
You, the reality TV show guy, and me, the fucking
podcast
guy. Yeah,
look, I mean, reality TV. Oh, boy. I mean, I'm not cynical about it, but I just don't watch it. And it's just, I probably would have been critical of myself if I wasn't myself. Does that make sense?
Yes, like, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I think that's completely
fair. If I wasn't on the show and a guy I knew was on the show, I'd sort of roll my eyes. But maybe I wouldn't because I think the show is actually good. Like, I watch it and I'm like, oh, it's actually pretty good. And every time I've had a girlfriend –
Yeah.
Which isn't a ton. I end up watching these reality shows. This was in the past.
They watched.
And I'm like, you know what? I kind of like this. And I get that a ton from guys.
Like
out in the public, they're like, my girlfriend's got me watching your show. And God damn it, if I'm not hooked.
Right.
Like, that happens
so
a lot.
It's so fucking entertaining.
Yeah.
Dude, so, it is. It's the drama of it all.
I guess so.
I mean, it's fun, man. Yeah. It really is fun. So you are not married.
Not
you have
married.
No kids.
Nope.
You're not currently dating?
Just turned 40, unfettered completely.
How is that? How did you manage?
I don't
this?
Know. I mean,
it's a difficult task.
No, it's not. Not when you are secretly a misanthrope.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I love people, but not on a constant basis. You know, familiarity breeds contempt.
You feel like you're like an eccentric guy?
I just do what I do, and I don't want anybody else really weighing in on what I do.
And I've never related more with anything that anyone has ever said in front of me, I don't think. And you kind of, dude, it's like to what you just spoke to.
I don't want to have to explain myself to anybody.
I totally feel that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this the other night. I was like, fuck, man, if one of my boys had turned into me and does what I do and dresses like I dress and lives the life that I live, I would probably make fun of them a little bit behind their back. At the very least, I would be like, fucking douchebag. And I would be a little bit jealous, too, because this is what I want to do, right? I get to do what I want to do every day, which is nice. And a lot of people don't get to fucking
you
do that.
You pod every day?
Hell no, but like a few days a week.
What else are you doing?
This is it. It's my full-time job, bro.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, cool.
You're looking at it. We're doing it right
That's
now.
That's great, dude.
If you walk out, I'm fucked.
I won't
I'm just
do
kidding.
That.
I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
I want to meet this next girl that's coming in.
Yeah, you're excited about that, huh?
Chick.
Tell me a little bit about your family, though. Your upbringing, your parents.
My parents are fantastic. Still together, long time. Dad grew up in Europe. His dad was an international businessman, and he grew up in Genoa, Italy. So,
was he an American growing up in Genoa? Or is he...
Yeah, he's American.
Okay,
but he speaks Italian and. He went to, you know, was on the junior Swiss ski team, all this kind of stories, interesting stories about
fancy
him.
Fancy shit.
Cool shit.
Yeah,
cool
very, shit. Very,
yeah.
Very fancy shit,
though. And then came back to the U.S. and went to Swanee, University of the South,
okay.
Outside of Chattanooga.
Right on.
And then became a lawyer and... met my mom and liked her and took her. He had a job in Denver right out of law school, and he was like, he invited her out to Denver. My dad is like not. I don't think my dad and I would have been great friends growing up. We're great friends now. He wasn't cool. Like he would definitely like has never smoked a cigarette, you know, like never smoked pot.
Not a rager.
Not a rager. But loves good wine. So now we get along great. You
there
know?
You go. Dude, that's all. Wine is like the thing that binds fathers and sons
I guess
at some
so.
Point.
And he invited her out to Denver to Red Rocks because my mom was cool. My mom was like a sort of a pseudo hippie as you could get because she's from Montgomery, Alabama. There weren't, you know, the 60s didn't really hit the South, you know,
right,
like
right.
It was
not the same way.
No, it was like San Francisco, New York, the West Village,
right?
You know, and LA. And that was kind of what the 60s. And
that's where the vibes were heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he invited her to a Burt Bacharach concert at Red Rocks.
Wow.
And I guess that sealed the deal. And
wow.
I mean, she was 21 when they got married. But yeah, so my mom's family is very interesting too. I mean, they're old school. They're from my mom's dad is from Selma, Alabama. And his dad, my great grandfather, was a U.S. senator. And her dad, my grandfather, went to Yale Law School and then was in the Navy during World War II, was on both fronts. And
shit.
And then he clerked for a Supreme Court justice after that, I think.
That's fucking crazy.
And then got a practiced law and got appointed as a federal judge by Jimmy Carter in the late 70s. And
Jesus, dude.
Yeah. And he was a federal judge in Montgomery, Alabama. The greatest guy, super fair, super good, just a great guy. And my grandmother's family is from Lake Forest, Chicago. They were in the railroad business. And Yeah, so interesting stories on both sides.
Is that where, like, the sort of family money aspect of this comes from, the railroad
side?
Oh, let's
not get into that.
Well, that's a huge part of the Southern charm as the thing, right?
I mean, everyone did very well, let's put it that way. But honestly, there's no – we were always taught, nobody ever had a Mercedes. Nobody ever had a Ferrari. Like, that's not how anybody rolled. And nobody ever said, you don't have to do anything. Like,
okay. Do you hate that people probably automatically assume that?
Oh, it's just funny to me. You know, like on Twitter or whatever, people will be like, your mom give you money. I'm like, son, my mom hasn't given me money since I was out of high school, you know?
Or, right, okay.
You know, like allowance, you know, whatever. But it's there and I, you know, it's sitting there and I've maybe dipped in the well in time of need.
Sure.
But
hey, man, who hasn't?
But I've said, like, I said on Twitter, I'm like, I'm sorry that your ancestors weren't as bright and interesting as mine. I apologize, you know, to you for that. Mine were prolific, yours weren't.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know.
Dude, well, in all fairness.
Eat shit.
You didn't do anything wrong.
I didn't do anything wrong.
I was in the position you're in.
I'm lucky. Yes. Yeah.
And there's a weird.
And I don't sit around, you know, like.
Making it rain.
Stacks of hundreds at strippers and stuff like that.
Right.
I'm a pretty modest guy. I don't need much. Honestly, money doesn't – this. I'm probably get killed for this, but, like, you know, money doesn't – you know, it's easy to say money doesn't mean much to you if it's sitting back there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I don't live high on the hog. Dude, I just don't, yeah.
I feel a similar way, though. Like, and I don't feel like I can't say it because I have said it before. I don't really give that much of a fuck about money. Like, I want to make sure I have it
so
that I can do the stuff I want to do. But beyond that, I really don't fucking care.
Yeah, if I had $50 million, I wouldn't live any differently.
I don't know that I would either.
Yeah.
I think I hit my peak at about, like, somewhere just above six figures a year is all I need.
Yeah.
And beyond that,
and
you
travel
straight.
A little more maybe and have some fun.
Hopefully
at
some point. I haven't gotten to yet. I've been in a living fucking hell of a professional situation for 8 years. But I'm out of that now. Beyond that is the point.
I mean, again, I'm very fortunate. I'll always admit that and acknowledge that.
You just
but
won't
it's
feel
not,
bad for
and it's but it's not fuck you money. If anybody thinks that, they're wrong. And nobody's cutting me checks. Like
you're working for it.
Well, yeah, and I've had several jobs in the past. I mean, in my 20s, I worked in Palm Beach for a home builder, and I worked for a developer, and I worked in Dubai. I've lived all over the world.
How was Dubai?
Dubai was great.
Damn.
Yeah.
Dubai was lit. Did you ever see that video?
Yeah.
That kid on laughing gas after he got his teeth taken out or whatever, and he says, Dubai was lit.
With his mom in the car? Yeah.
Yeah,
I've seen
it's fantastic.
Yeah. And I've had a great, fun time in life. No doubt about it.
So what do you do when you're not filming Southern Charm now?
Well, I've got this clothing line called Shep Gear that takes up a decent amount of time. It does really well. I'm stoked on it.
Shep Gear.
Yeah, t-shirts and hats. I've got one t-shirt that I'm about to get made. Remember Something About Mary, obviously?
Yep, of course.
The old man that's dating Magda to get to Mary.
Yes.
And he has a shirt that says Dance Contest Winner.
Okay.
I'm making a Dance Contest Winner. I'm sorry to the creators of
that's
Something
so
About
obscure.
Mary. Yeah.
I love it.
I've got some other stuff. I've got one that says tan fat equals muscle on the shirt and a bunch of cool hats, and I'll send you some. But,
nice, please do.
And then I'm working on other stuff in the entertainment world. I've got 100 million ideas, and I've got a couple of scripted shows. I wrote a pilot for a scripted show.
No shit.
Yeah. I shopped it around. Shockingly, it didn't get picked up.
How long did the writing process take for that?
Not that long.
Okay.
Which is a good sign, right? Like, I was like, wow, this isn't that hard.
And you're
like, yeah, it poured out of me.
Right.
I spent a day and a half with my buddy at my family's farm with a bottle of whiskey and a couple joints. And
took care of it.
Well, we talked about who the characters were, what they were, and what their motivations were. And then the next night, I did a lot of the writing. I just sat down with a pen and paper and was like, man walks into the office kind of thing, you know?
Just hammered it out.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, my problem is doing rewrites. I don't want to look at it again. But I have another idea of this really cool show.
Oh, shit, man. I'm the opposite. My problem is I can't leave it alone. I reread it over and over and over and won't stop editing it.
I puke all over the page and you deal with it.
That's like an incredible talent to have, though. You should realize that. Yes,
because the opposite. Yours is a talent.
Dude, it fucking sucks. It's hell. You never move on.
No, I can move on.
You never feel like you're finished, and it's awful.
Like, I can't – it's hard for me to it's hard for me to read – like, when I did the podcast, I couldn't listen to it. I didn't want to. It was done. It was out of my life. Like, see you later, you know?
Well, that's
what I mean?
Different, though, because, like, I don't listen to my show after it's done either.
Yeah, okay.
I was there when it was made.
Yeah.
You know? I know what happened.
Yeah, well, I was there when I wrote what I wrote. Like, I don't need to read it again.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah,
shit.
Anyway, so that's been interesting, and I still want to cultivate that. And I don't know. I mean, you know what's crazy is that how many – you know, I fell ass backwards into this situation, and here I am with these ideas. But if I had those ideas in the past, there was just no way it was conceivable that they would ever see the light of day.
Right.
By the way, these might not either, but
– Well, sure, but you have a much better chance.
And how many people in the history of man or whatever, woman as well, how many prolific people have there been that just haven't been in that arena and just have lived a trite sort of mediocre...
Normal life,
Well, no, just like wasted their the creativity potential. Or whatever.
I think about that shit all the time. Yeah. Terrifying.
Yeah, it is. And it's also kind of... crazy, but I guess that's how the world works.
It is. I mean, that's...
It's all timing. It's all everything. It's
so
crazy.
Much of it is a crapshoot. I could... Dude, if we had the time, this show's about you, not me, and the people listening are already aware of my ridiculous fucking fall into what I do. Like,
yeah.
It is stupid. And looking back, I can see like each lucky break, and I'm like, Jesus, fuck, nobody deserves that many.
Yeah.
I got like 26 in a row to be able to do this for a living, and it's just, I feel the same way. And there is like a weird level of survivor's guilt with... any level of fortune, man, any level of being fortunate. Like, I mean, I grew up around only people with money. I went to school, a private school in Houston. Every single one of my best friends had money.
Is it the one where Wes Anderson went to?
No, but.
That Rushmore was written
Which fucking one was that, dude? This is going to piss me off if I don't remember it. I have to look it up. Rushmore Actual School.
Because that's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's just so great.
Oh, this is going to piss me off. Rushmore's so good. Shit. Fuck. I'll look it up later. Whatever. Okay. But no, different one. But anyway, point is this. I became like... you know, all my good friends had money. All my best friends had money. All the people that, all the houses that I went to when I went to go to sleepovers or whatever were a lot different than mine. And like, I mean, you just learn that shit it doesn't change life the way you think it does. Everybody else, every wealthy person I know is still living a life filled with problems that they have to face each day and tackle. And I feel like some of the time it's easy to look up at the 1% and be like, fuck them. They have it so easy. This is a joke to all. And that's not necessarily the case. And there are good people and bad people in every bracket you look at.
Sure.
And it's just one of those things. I developed like a perspective as a young person that like, I never wanted to let money rule me or dictate what I do. Right, I want to do what I want to do and hope that money comes with it. And if it does, then fuck yes. And if not, then maybe I try something else.
Had conviction in something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather do that than sell myself.
Sure.
Right? And I don't know. It just...
And here's
money
the
is
thing,
such a complicated fucking
but
thing.
That thing, but like what you were saying, you know, yeah, those people have their own problems. And that's the funny thing about social media and Twitter and even Instagram. The trolls or what have you, mm-hmm. they think it's almost like, and I mean, you're on a TV show or you're from a, you know, money or whatever. You almost deserve to draw our ire.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's the same with like professional athletes.
You can't take it? Like, you've had, like, and you're like, listen, everybody has their own problems. Everybody has their own insecurities. Everybody has their own doubts. Everybody's
like, that's
got
part of the deal, though. Like, oh no, dude, you're on TV.
Yeah,
this is how it works. I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, and like you, yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, I'd like to tell you, I have pretty thick skin. I mean, some of my co-stars, they read too much. I pretty much just like, no.
Dude, you got to stay out of that.
No, I do.
Like,
I do a pretty decent
job. Internet lesson number one, like,
yeah.
Don't read the comments.
No, I know. And don't, I mean, so, yeah.
That's somebody else's job.
No, I know. Well, I mean, I feel sorry for them. But it just, what it says about the world, it's kind of frightening if you sit down and think about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As a dude that's worked very deep in the internet for literally 8 straight years now, I can tell you that it is not lacking anywhere at any level. And it's not just because your level of exposure to it is higher because you have more followers. And,
yeah.
and so the count goes up. The more followers you have, the more toxicity there is.
Yeah.
Every fucking level, though, dude. Down to, like, kids with 500 followers, one of them is in there fucking being toxic. It's
yeah.
crazy.
It's and crazy.
It's just and, the internet for some reason.
And it's the loud minority. And it seems uh-huh. like it's a gang of...
Oh man,
like,
it seems so
people
bigger.
With pitchforks, you
yeah.
know what I mean? But like, it's actually someone with pizza grease on their fingers, and you know.
Well, and, I have pizza you know, grease on my fingers. Shit,
oh,
right now.
Well,
can
someone bring in a napkin?
Oh fuck.
no, but yeah, it's really. I'm actually in talks with some people about maybe writing a book. I love writing. I've written a bunch of essays in my past, and one of the things I'm going to tackle, I think, is that sort of just this pervasive, really negative nastiness that's going on. And
it's like beyond bullying. It's like it's weird,
but it's from every side too. Like, don't try to like. I'm pretty politically agnostic,
mm-hmm.
but both sides are just abhorrent. I mean, and it's just.
Yes.
It's just scary. So,
yeah, it's
anyway.
One of the things we talk about on my show is how badly broken it is on both sides now that it's like, I know people on both
Where
sides.
Where are all the reasonable people? That's sort of my question.
Yeah.
You know? And they're out there, by the way. They're you walk outside. I guess everybody you bump into will be a completely reasonable
Yeah, but like,
people.
I have reasonable best friends who are far right. Because they're not reasonable about their politics. I have reasonable best friends who are way far left because they're not reasonable about their politics. For whatever
yeah.
reason, people are unreasonable about the thing that matters most to be reasonable about.
I know. And they think it's like fucking Michigan versus Ohio State.
Yes,
it's actually a country that we're all in.
Dude,
it's the same team. We're
good analogy,
yeah.
man. Thank you. I've been looking for that for like 6 months. Like, what is this that people think this is? They treat it like it's fucking college football
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They're real political parties. It's important yeah. shit.
It's not important. We should all just want everyone to be sort of happy and well off as they possibly can. I mean, you know.
No, absolutely. But
and not try to hurt, you know, the person next to you if you possibly can. That's why, you know, libertarianism is makes so much sense for me at least. And it's like, you know, do whatever you want as long as it doesn't harm anybody else.
Right.
That's such a simple concept.
And that's the gist of libertarianism.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Today's episode of RBP is also brought to you by Quip, makers of the greatest toothbrush in the history of oral hygiene. This thing is crazy good, Quip. It's going to blow your mind. I'm not shitting you. The first time you brush with a Quip, using their built-in 2-minute timer that buzzes every 30 seconds to ensure you achieve a full and even clean, you're going to finish that brushing sesh. And your brain is going to feel like mush because your mouth is going to be so clean, like you just left a very, very good, gentle, calming, and loving dentist. I've been on Quip for over 2 years now. It is so unbelievably several levels above anything I've ever used in terms of a toothbrush. Fantastic sponsor and supporter of the RBP gang. Make sure to use the code at the end of this read. I love, love, love Quip. They automatically deliver brush heads to you every 3 months. For clean, new bristles right on schedule. Just another badass thing about this company. The sleek, intuitive design of the toothbrush is simple to use. It comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror mount. Awesome for travel, but also just if you use it at home, just makes it easier to keep clean and store correctly. They're thoughtful features that make brushing something you actually want to do twice every day, all right? This is seriously now an enjoyable part of my routine. That is not bullshit. It genuinely starts and ends my day on a nice, fresh note. And I appreciate that. Good habits matter to live a healthier life. So help Form fresh oral health habits with Quip. Quip starts at just $25, and you'll get your first refill free at getquip.com/RBP. This is a simple way to support our show and start brushing better, but you have to go to getquip.com/RBP to get your first refill free. Go right now to getquip.com/RBP. At one point, there was an episode where y'all went to a dispensary in Colorado.
Yeah.
And it, that was your first experience at a dispensary, I believe, was it?
No. I've been to some in LA, but it never gets comfortable. It just seems crazy because growing up, you know, buying weed was like a, you know, everybody's looking around, everything right, okay, right. You know.
Having to then, fucking hide and duck from the cops, yeah, and hide it from your parents
and all of a sudden
shit.
People are like, what, here's the menu, and you're
yes.
like, you're still like looking around,
yes.
Like, who's listening, like, what, am I on candid camera?
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
So it's kind of funny, and
it still blows my mind every time I walk into one. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, weed's such a harmless vice. What a, and I mean, I'm not, I smoked a decent amount in college and high school. I don't do it a ton. I'll do it, but I don't buy it necessarily that much. I'll like buy like some weed and it'll just sit in my house for like months. I'll be, oh yeah,
I know a lot of people
like
that. I know a lot of guys who will like buy some weed and then like 6 months later they're like, I have like 3 grams of weed randomly in a drawer yeah. in my house.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens.
Okay, well, if
but
we
because it makes me eat too much, man, I'll be a fatty if I smoke too much weed.
You're a munchies guy.
Oh my god, I'll get gummy bears and all this shit from the store. A score bar, I love a score
bar. What the fuck is a score bar?
It's like a Heath bar crunch. I don't know what the difference between a
what?
Score and a Heath bar is.
Okay, okay.
Check it out.
Yeah. Whatever. Same
toffee,
thing.
Chocolate, you know the deal.
But the, okay, so the dispensary episode though, what all did you try?
Oh, sativa is the way to go, right? I'm not kind of a hype. I don't like to be
mellowed
you
out.
Know, no, I heavy eyelids doesn't appeal to me, although I probably need it.
That is bizarre. It's like the opposite of what I would think. Most people that are a little more high strung or that have more energy prefer yeah. the indicas because it calms them down.
No. No, I want to have energy, and
you want to go do shit.
Yes,
and fucking think.
Always want to do shit, and my mind, I want my mind to pop. Yeah,
okay,
all
I
the
feel.
Time,
but
yeah.
you can find good hybrids that have a balance.
Sure,
so
I'll
that
do
you're
a
not
hybrid.
So fucking
I'll do anything.
Out.
I don't care.
You don't give a fuck.
No, I'm a consumer.
Hey, speaking of which, we're going to Austin City Limits this weekend. You're going. I'll be there too. I'm
oh
sure at some point I'm going to be meeting up with y'all. Okay. If you're anywhere near me, it won't even be a choice. You'll just have a secondhand high. So,
oh yeah, are you gonna puff down?
I'm gonna have a lot of weed out there, a good amount. A
I thought you're wait.
I'm sober from alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no, I'm interested in this. Yeah,
yeah. So I smoke quite a bit.
Okay, so that's your outlet.
Very much so.
And
yeah,
and then that helps. And I have a friend who has the same way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I have like pretty bad anxiety and depression here and there.
Okay,
massive help with that shit. It's crazy, like okay. night and day.
I wrote an essay, and I'll hopefully if I do this book I'll put it in there. It was after Robin Williams killed himself.
Yeah,
and one of my favorite writers is David Foster Wallace, and he killed himself. And I wrote an essay about depression from someone who's never had depression.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of like why, and I did a little research, and it's frightening. Like, it's just, it is a real crippler, isn't
dude,
it?
Yeah. Fucking crazy. The thing is, like, I had never dealt with it in my whole life until like 6 months ish ago.
Oh, wow.
In the same situation. I even had people on my show before a couple years back that spoke to me about depression, and I like was honest with them, like, I can't identify because I've never felt that.
Yeah.
I don't know what that feels like, that level of sorrow and sadness that would drive
and
you
to can't
feel,
get out of bed because you,
yeah, yeah.
And you think that nobody wants to be around you, and you think you're a burden on everybody.
I couldn't identify with it. And then little did I know, you know, 6 months later, I had some stuff occur that caused me to go through a spurt or a bout with it. And oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is horrifying. Yeah. It is truly terrifying.
That sucks, man.
But yeah, my point wasn't
feeling
to take it
now.
There. My point was to take it to
ACL. ACL, sorry.
Who are you excited? No, it's okay. Who are you excited to see this weekend, music-wise?
Well,
what kind of music do you like?
My favorite band ever is Pink Floyd.
you and me are clicking right now, Shep. We're clicking.
I love the Talking Heads.
What's your favorite Pink Floyd song? If you
metal,
had to pick one.
Metal.
Okay, I'm a comfortably numb guy.
Yeah, no, there's an album called Metal, and They say the hill's too steep to climb. I love that song.
Every fucking Pink Floyd song is the best.
Anyway, so then, yeah, I loved Grateful Dead. I love Led Zeppelin. I love Marley. I love The Cure, The Cars.
You sure you don't smoke pot every day?
No.
Okay.
I love The Police. I love 80s good pop, 80s rock.
Who's going to be in your
genre? The Cure's playing this
weekend.
Got
The Cure.
That's going to be cool.
Are you so, what do we have, Led Zeppelin?
Tame and
Guns
Paul.
And Arrows. Who's there?
Guns N' Roses. I saw, my Guns N' Roses story is outrageous.
You tell.
I will tell. I was a huge Guns N' Roses fan back in the day, and I mean, I was like 14, 15 when Appetite Destruction came out. Maybe less. I was younger than that. But my mom was like, "Turn this off." And so on the road trip, we would make a deal. Like I could listen to Guns N' Roses, and she would listen to Billy Joel's Greatest Hits.
Nice.
But I kind of won both ways because Billy Joel's not that fast.
It's not. No, yeah. Not at all.
And so I got an invite. First, I had a meeting at United Talent Agency, UTA, in LA.
Right.
And because there was this guy that went to Georgia. I went to Georgia too. And he wanted to meet me as an agent. And so I went in there, and there was these two cute gals that were receptionists.
Okay.
And I was like, "What's up?" And we were talking. And then afterwards, I was like, "Well, it's nice to meet y'all," and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we were supposed to have backstage passes to Guns N' Roses because my friend knew a drummer of the opening band or something, and we didn't have the backstage. No big deal. We went into the Dodger Stadium. We had decent tickets, and I went to use the restroom, and I ran into the two babes, the receptionist.
Right.
And I was like, they were like, "Shep." I was like, "Girls, what's up?" And they were like, "We represent Guns N' Roses. We're taking,
Oh, go for it.
Having a little fun with coasters.
You're good.
And they were like, "Shep, what's going on?" I was like, "Nothing." They were like, "We represent Guns N' Roses. We're taking people from the VIP tent to backstage." I was like, "Is that right?"
No shit.
I was like, "Can you hook it up?" And they were like, "Yeah, wait till after the show. We got you covered." So we went backstage to this cool tent with all these like 80s rockers hanging around and a bunch of like,
fuck yeah,
bunch of cuties and we're drinking and having fun. And
you said cuties instead of groupies. I respect that.
Oh, well, what's the difference?
I don't know.
And so then they were like, "Okay, we're going to the Roosevelt Hotel. That's where the after party is, on the rooftop." And I turned to my little friends at UTA and I said, "Can we go to that?" They're like, "Yeah, we got you." I was like, "Ooh, I'm doing something right.
This is cool."
And we went up to the rooftop, and Axl and Slash, and they ordered pizza. And I'm talking to this girl, this beautiful girl, and she's a model. And she was like, "I went to Duke." I was like, "You can read?"
Dude. How many people are at this thing?
Probably 50, and there is an open bar. And I'm not saying I hung out with Slash and Axl, you know what I mean?
But they're there.
Yeah. Yeah, and so was like Tobey Maguire. Not
dude,
that.
What's
and, then I was sitting there talking to this girl, and this fucker hit me, and my drink went everywhere. I go, "What the fuck is the problem here?" And it was the guy from that show about nerds. The main guy.
The worst show. Most popular show in the world?
Yeah.
The terrible show?
Like, not Third Rock from the Sun.
Most popular show. It'll pop up when I Google that. Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. It's the head guy, John Lipnicki or something.
Shut the fuck up.
And he goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I was like, "Motherfucker."
The fucking Big Bang Theory guy spilled a drink all over
you? Yeah, well, he knocked my drink all over me, yeah.
Shit, that show is the worst.
It's the worst. My sister likes it, and we, like, argue
about
it.
I literally Googled nerd show most popular,
yeah,
and that's
what
popped
up. No, that's it, yeah. I purposely have blocked out the name of it from my brain.
Those people have made so much goddamn money off that show, by the way, dude.
I know. I mean, I love Revenge of the Nerds, don't get me wrong. That's a great movie.
Animal.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing against nerds, just that show.
No,
that show,
it's just canned laughter and just stupidity.
It's truly terrible.
Two and a Half Men is another one I just don't understand.
How did the night end at the rooftop with Slash
so
and Guns N' Roses?
It was like Axel's got a you know, real, like a suite, like you can't go down there. I was like, okay. And then some girl grabbed me. He's like, he's with me. I was like, oh my God. So I went down to the thing.
Were you scared it was going to be like a blood orgy down there?
No, it was cool. And there was this guy that I kind of knew Whitney was with me too from the show. Like, it was just one of those crazy nights. And this guy's like, Shep, come here. And Axel was like right there. And I was just like, this is crazy. And
how do you keep yourself from staring at
I just, well, I, by the way, I was pretty like, feeling no pain. I was just doing my own thing, you
right,
know,
sure.
Having my own personal late night. Like I was the star or whatever. Okay. Not really.
No, but. I mean, but that's how it is though.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what am I going to do? Like tackle Axel? Like no. I knew him? No, best not to.
But it's hard in those situations to play it off. Even if you're like a famous person, I'm doing air quotes.
No.
If you're around famous people that are famous to you, it's still hard to play it off.
I certainly didn't feel famous in that moment at all. Nor do I almost ever. But anyway, so yeah, I think I know what happened. I mean, you know, one of the gals.
It was a good night.
It was a great night.
Great success.
And ended great with a makeout session, you know, uh-huh. some apartment in West Hollywood. Yeah. Yeah.
An innocent love story.
Oh, yeah. And just pass out. Like,
everybody
with glee, you know,
yeah.
with like this smile on my face. Like, this night I will never, ever forget.
Dude,
ever.
Fuck
you know
yeah.
What I mean?
That's a great story. Yeah. Wait, so you mentioned that you went to.
So
to Georgia.
I saw Guns N' Roses, but who I really want to see is Tame Impala.
Ah.
And they play at the same time as Guns N' Roses on. Pissed.
They fuck this up every year on one of. There's always one where I'm like, how could you put these two at the same time?
Do you know who Tame Impala is?
Yes.
Rad,
they're great.
Dude. They're
yes.
so cool. They're yes. like avant garde, good rock.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. You mentioned that you went to Georgia, but
yeah.
you also went to Vanderbilt?
Yeah, Vanderbilt Business School. Yeah.
So what? You did Georgia for undergrad?
Yeah.
How was that?
Fucking great.
Are you a huge UGA Bulldogs guy?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, you don't give a fuck.
No, I root for the Dogs emphatically.
Okay,
like,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
But like, I'm not like, you know.
You're not going to lose your goddamn mind.
No, no.
You're not crying on Saturday
no,
if the Dogs blow it.
No, and like, I don't want to like criticize fandom, but I mean, come on, you know, like these guys are here for 3 years, maybe four, and then they go and we get a new batch. And the same goes pro sports. Like, you know, they don't care as much as the fans do, generally.
No,
I mean,
a job for them.
Yeah, well, they're trying to advance them, and good for them, and that's great.
Fuck
but
yeah.
It's just crazy the amount of importance that people... Now, if we won the national championship, I would dance in the streets.
See?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's layers to it.
But I'm not going to, like, cry in my Cheerios.
The thing that always bugs me is when I'm watching college football and you see, like, one of these kids, like an 8-year-old, bawling their eyes out in the stands.
Oh,
and I'm
I
like,
understand a kid, though, right?
That dude, that
their,
kid.
Their parents conditioned them to love this team.
It's
I mean,
disturbing. That child should not care that much about anything yet. That child should not
I'm
feel that
to
level
remember
of pain.
If I cared. I mean, I remember loving the 49ers when I was growing up because Joe Montana and
sure.
Roger Craig. I loved Roger Craig for some crazy reason. And yeah, I'm sure I was emotionally invested,
but not
these days
to cry on like
these days I'm more I hate teams. Like, I want that team to lose.
Okay, who do you actively hate?
Oh my God, the Patriots.
Okay, yeah. All of us do. Yeah,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is good. This is good.
And I'm trying to think of. Some, I mean, hate Florida.
Did you hate the Warriors in the NBA?
No, I don't hate the Warriors. I'm trying to think who I dislike in the NBA.
Fucking Warriors.
I don't know. Oh, I hated the Detroit Bad Boy Pistons. I mean, I remember hating the Miami Hurricanes back in the day.
Oh,
the
yeah,
Thugs.
Dude.
Yeah.
Bad Boy Hurricanes?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Just those teams that had sort of seemed like they had a bad attitude, you know?
Yeah, those are easy to hate teams.
Yeah,
and then
for
they have
course.
Success, and it's even easier to hate them. Like,
yeah.
The Bad Boy Pistons were so fun to hate,
That's
and then
right.
they also won.
That's right.
Okay, so Vanderbilt and Georgia, were they, like, comparable? I mean, what was your...
No, not really. I mean, Georgia was, you know, this town dominated by a university.
Mm-hmm.
And what great times it was. Vanderbilt is in Nashville. You know, Nashville's got its own thing. You know, Vanderbilt's just a small part of Nashville.
Okay.
I liked that later in my life because, you know, there was just more scenes that you could sort of disappear into.
More of a real city, a full city.
Totally, yeah. And I like that. I like that a lot. I mean, I go back to Athens and I love it, but like, I you know, it's just, it's a college town. There's no getting around it. So
right. It's a different type of deal. College town's different deal.
But what a great college town it is. It's one of the best in the world.
Absolutely.
So I spent 5 illustrious years. I took a victory lap.
I am familiar with the victory lap.
Yeah. So,
I don't know if you can call mine that, but it was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I spent a semester in Buenos Aires when I was in college. So I had a great time there. Boy, I can tell you some stories. But and I spent some time in Hong Kong and Austria. Like I said, Dubai.
How many countries have you been to now?
A lot.
You don't have a number off the top?
No, not even close.
You don't
close.
Have any of your numbers anymore, do you, Shep? You're swimming in it, aren't you, Shep?
Life is good, my friend. if you're counting, you're not doing it right.
That is a very good point. hey, didn't you have a hot dog restaurant at some point? Do you still have it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why did you mention this? You mentioned Shep Gear, no love for the fucking hot dogs?
Oh, well, you know, I'm a silent partner.
Oh, you remain silent.
No, I was muted.
Okay.
Almost. No, I've got 3 restaurants in Charleston. I've got that I'm, you know, have a small sliver of. The Alley, which is a bowling alley, sports bar, has 8 lanes. It's rad. You'd like it.
Fuck yeah.
And Palace Hotel is this dive bar in the middle of, like, the wrong side of town. And it's just awesome. And hot dogs, burgers, cold beer, back deck, everybody's ripping heaters. And yeah, it's a great spot.
Still rip heaters, Shep?
If I am hammered, I will smoke.
You've been drinking?
Yeah.
So I was every
too much,
time I drank.
Too much. But I don't crave cigarettes, and I don't do it by the light of day.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
for
a
sure.
different level of shame for
yeah.
some reason.
yeah.
It really fucking
it's
is.
Dark.
Even
smoke.
Smokers yeah. know it. It's like if you're when you're driving to work in the morning and you see somebody firing up in their
yeah.
car at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
There's something about that that's just like fuck. It's yeah. just so defeating.
That's their favorite one, by the way.
It's, like, and it's
yeah.
so defeating, though.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
damn, and it's all downhill from there. Yeah, that's the best moment of the day.
I guess so.
It's fucking.
Yeah, and then there's one more called the Commodore, which is an old black-owned jazz club that was closed, was like just absolutely closed for 15-some-odd years.
And where's this?
In Charleston, and we walked in, and we're like, get the fuck out of here. It's so cool. It looks like a museum. Like it's a,
just vintage?
It's vintage as hell, and we didn't do a whole hell of a lot to it. And we have a funk band, a house funk band. We've got different bands coming in and out, and boy, we have a good time.
Do you
there.
Hang out there often?
Yeah, I used to a lot more when I lived downtown, but I moved from downtown out to the beach because downtown was getting a little crazy. And
why is that?
Man, because I lived right near the Palace Hotel and the Commodore, and when the lights turned on, I was like, everybody's come with me, uh-huh. you know, like the Pied Piper. And
yeah.
It
just
you know,
gets tiring.
Bro, the nights got longer and longer and the days shorter. And I was like, something bad's going to happen. Like, I don't know what.
Kick out here.
Something or the cops or something. There was just, and there was people I didn't know running around. And, you know.
Was it fun though while it lasted?
Oh my God. Best time I never remembered.
do you feel like you got out unscathed?
I got out unscathed.
From the worst of your partying years.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, it's like I turned 40 last week and my friends.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's huge.
Thank you. I guess. Yeah.
It is huge, dude. Making it 40 years alive. Is it a fucking accomplishment?
That's exactly what my friend said. I mean, I was, you know, oh, I'm 40. And he goes, mate, he's British. He goes, bloody hell, you made it this far. That's a accomplishment in and of itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't, dude.
Yeah. No, I know. And I've lived a crazy fun life and I'm lived to tell the story.
That's and as long as you're willing to tell it, I think you're doing your part. Which you
oh,
are.
I'm going
to
write
here.
About it, I think. But I'm not going to tell everything because God.
Yeah, you got to keep some for
the
you.
The cops will like yeah. knock down my door or
you
something.
You keep some for you and for your lawyers so that they don't have to worry about.
I've had a lot of fun, man. I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't stolen from anybody. You know, gone bankrupt or anything like that. So
you've committed 0 murders.
No, yes,
you haven't murdered a prostitute at any point.
No,
that's good.
No,
you've confirmed
prostitute.
That now.
Why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free?
The
you
whole
know?
Goal here, Shep, was to confirm that you've never murdered a prostitute. And
no,
we've done that. We've
I've
now
never been implicated
that.
In any sort of any shenanigans with the opposite sex.
Dude, we obviously very much appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. I wanted to give you the opportunity quickly, if you want, to shout anybody out you'd like, plug anything, charities, upcoming events, shows, literally whatever. Let's talk about what you want to talk about for a second.
Okay, yeah. I'm I'm I just what happened in the Bahamas, in the Abaco specifically, was just devastating.
The hurricane.
Yeah, and I have a lot of love for the Abacos. Like I was telling someone earlier, if I had fuck you money, like and that varies from person to person what sure, that amount is. I would get a house in the Abacos. Now, this is before the hurricane. I still might, not saying I'm like giving up on the Abacos.
Right.
And then I get a house in Sun Valley, and I would surf, fly fish, ski, and play golf, and not do and do those things that make me happy.
I've become aroused.
And yeah. And it's so funny when people say, oh, I don't know what I'd do if I retire. I know exactly what the fuck I'd do.
So like, why, man? I've never had that
problem. I would have fun. I would just do things that I love, and I would read books and write and do whatever I, you know, whatever, you know, fly down some beautiful people and have fun with them. Anyway.
Sure.
So I was able to, via Chef Gear, I made a Bahamas hat. It has a Bahamas flag on it. And my friend Matt Cisneros, who brought me here, set this up.
Absolutely. My ad sales guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a guy in California that had a factory, and we made a bunch of Bahamas flags hats. You got to get one. Get one for Matt. That's awesome. And there, and I raised over $25,000 for for the Abacos. Now, I don't have a specific charity because I haven't gotten that far, but I'd like to ask everybody to think about those people down there. It's just what happened to them is effed up. Like, they got demolished. So maybe that's my one thing. I've got a lot of things that I'm thinking about, but think about people that lose everything. I think that we're pretty damn lucky in this world.
Dude, it's crazy as shit out there. There are just so many things that can negatively impact the people around us. I think if everybody just has sort of that attitude of, just want to help somewhere, something, and then do what you can.
It turns out when you help people, you end up benefiting yourself just as much as you do.
For
to
sure,
them.
It can become almost like a selfish act because once you
and
start
it gives
to see,
you a good sense of yourself. I mean, this is a tough world. I mean, I know it sounds like, you know, we talked about earlier, everybody seems happy and wealthy or successful, but like, what the real wealth is feeling good inside
and having happiness. Yeah.
And making sure that you're trying to do something good for other people. And I think that the world would be a better place. I know that I sound like I should write that on a pillow or something.
Yeah.
But that's how I feel at the moment. And let's have a good time at ACL, my friend.
Dude, I'm excited. We are going to have a good time. Shep Rose, everybody. Shep, I'll throw in your Instagram and stuff in the intro.
Oh, Relationship. That's my
Relationship.
Instagram. Relationship.
Relationship.
And
it's a good handle.
Thank you. And
nice branding.
That's what they called me. That's what my friends called me when I was in love one time.
Okay.
And because they thought I'd changed. Dude, that's which I probably did.
You had good boys because that's a very good nickname for your boy who's falling off the deep end with a chick. Yeah. Relationship. He crushed that.
Yeah, they gave me a hard time, but they understood how I felt.
Dude, that's great.
Still searching that for that feeling, man.
You're still chasing that original high.
Yeah, chasing that high,
that
man.
Fucking dragon ship. Let's go chase it together. RBP228 is also brought to you by HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, baby. HelloFresh makes cooking delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of your comfort in the kitchen. From step-by-step recipes to pre-measured ingredients, you'll have everything you need to get a wow-worthy dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. Seriously, every time I make one of these, I'm amazed that even I, the village idiot of the kitchen, even I am able to crush these, and they're so damn good and so much better for me than literally everything else I eat. So say goodbye to endless grocery store trips and takeout food. HelloFresh has you covered. Break out of your dinner rut with HelloFresh's 20-plus seasonal chef-curated recipes each week. There's something for everyone, from family recipes to calorie smart, vegetarian. They've got cool, fun series menus like a Hall of Fame and Kraft Burgers. HelloFresh has more 5-star recipes than any other meal kit, so you know you'll get something delicious. Go look at their website. If you're looking for my personal fave for Din right now, when steak met potatoes. Delicious. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/RBP80. Enter the code RBP80. That's HelloFresh.com/RBP80. Enter the code RBP80. That's like receiving like 8 meals completely free or $20 off each of your first 4 boxes if you want to look at it that way. Fantastic stuff. HelloFresh is awesome. Support them. Get yourself some delicious, healthy food. It is so freaking good. HelloFresh.com/RBP80. RBP 80. Next segment, Emily Clow's job application gone horribly wrong. All right, so now I have with me my friend Emily Clow. Clow, how are you today?
I'm exhausted. But
are you tired?
I'm tired.
You look good.
I look tired. don't be nice to me right now. I look so bad right now, but yeah.
You look good enough.
There we go. I'll take that.
You've had an interesting 48 hours. I don't want to tell your story for you, so I'll just sort of get us started. Like, basically, you and I's relationship is that you were an intern at the company I used to work at for some time. And then I've worked with you personally on all types of different weird shit, like social media, weird video shoots, photo shoots. I don't know. We've done a lot of weird stuff.
I did so much there, and I never realized it until I looked back on it. Like, I did customer service for Rowdy Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Like, like, I didn't even think about it. I was talking about it the other day, and I was like, wow, I really did a lot. But yeah, I guess it's just because it was when, like, we downsized the offices. I kind of I took on more hats.
Yeah, I think that happened to a lot of us. We were like, holy shit. Looking back, I was doing a lot. But yeah, so we already knew each other from there, and then you and I are both very active on social media.
Yes.
So we've kept up with each other through social media, sort of.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we haven't kept up as much over the past 6 months, I'd say, ish. Right?
No, I mean, I've kind of like... I haven't been on as active on Twitter as I was when I worked at Total Frat Move.
Right.
But I think that because I was more active was because it was my job
to be
more active. And haven't really had a job that had that capacity, I guess, to be on Twitter as much.
Which brings you to applying for jobs, I think.
Yes, it did.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're on the job hunt. Mm-hmm. You're applying for jobs. You find this company. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the company?
Kick-Ass Masterminds. Sorry, I can't laugh at that, but...
Kick-Ass Masterminds.
Yes.
Okay, and it's some kind of marketing firm of some kind of...
It was a marketing coordinator position that really caught my eye.
But just to be clear, I want to... Kick-Ass Masterminds is actually the name of the company.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why I didn't really bat an eye about it is because we're in Austin and there's so many weird names of so many companies down here.
Yeah, yeah. You just mentioned one. I mean, well, Grand X was the name of the company, but Total Frat Move was an unusual brand to be working for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people were like, why would you apply to this? And I'm like, in this area, there are so many different names.
Sure.
Of so many different.
Well, and also
companies.
A job is a job. Everybody's hunting for jobs. Yeah, you got to go after whatever available. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you apply for the job, and then in the process of sort of following up, what did you go in for an interview?
No, I didn't. I actually applied Tuesday morning.
Okay, like, so you'd never even gone in for an interview.
Nope.
They haven't met these fucking people.
Uh-uh.
You never looked them in the eye.
No.
You couldn't have gone in and, like, you know, clogged up a toilet or something and then had them that you didn't realize.
No, I've never met them at all.
So you send in your application, and then within how long is it that you notice your photo with your head cropped off? And where are you, Vegas or some shit?
No, it was actually a downtown Austin apartment. I was at a pool party that was sponsoring Waterloo.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're at a pool party downtown Austin.
Yeah.
And even more innocent than Las Vegas. And your head is missing. And it says something along the lines of, this was an apple. You want to read the screenshot of it for me? So the company that she applied at on their Instagram, which Emily had only followed to then be actively fucking engaging with the company she was attempting to go work for, which, by the way, she only applied for the job because it was like a female run sort of situation.
Yeah, it was founded by women, and they really they stated how much they supported women in business, which obviously is huge in my generation.
Like on their website, it says this shit.
And they also, like, kudos to Grand X, because I worked with y'all and y'all were technically a startup. Companies that work with startups are always intriguing to me because I have that background. And so I always have that insight and be able to have that knowledge and intellect to apply to whatever job that also works with startups. And so that also caught my eye as well.
Yeah, startups are a totally different type of ballgame.
It's
it's a more demanding, but an also more casual, but an also more like hectic situation, usually.
Yeah. So
so you apply for the job.
Apply for the job. And they
follow the Instagram.
Well, the reason why I followed the Instagram, which I have to explain to people, when I applied for the job, they got back to me around 9:40 in the morning, because I guess I applied at 9. I don't know what time I was sending out so many applications. Who knows what time I sent it in.
Grind girl.
But they... They got back to me at 9:40 and they said, you're a great match. We would love for you to fill out the second half of the application that they had.
Okay.
And so I did. It was like a lot of extensive questions that were about marketing. What was your last campaign? Tell us a story about your grit and toughness. Describe yourself. Very much like, let's
standard
get to know
you. Standard
application
bullshit.
Yeah. And then at the end of it, after I submitted, it said to follow the Instagram to get an advantage over other applicants.
So just to be clear. Just to be totally clear, at the end of their application...
Well, not the end, after you submit it, so...
It says, follow on our Instagram account for, like, an actual leg up on other applicants.
Yeah, it said it would... I don't know what the exact verbiage was.
Okay, so you do that because you're a smart person, and every single person who's ever gotten to the end of that has gone, well, fuck, I guess I have to follow their Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I'm not going to take my chances and be like, you didn't follow our Instagram. Why didn't you follow it? Like, of course, we're going to disqualify you. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll follow you. So, and it's a good way to see the company, too.
Now, do you think that when you followed is when it triggered them to look at your shit, or were they already going to be looking at your shit?
Oh, no, that's the best part. They already posted it before I followed.
So you follow only to find that they have... been going through your social media because you've applied for this job. They have found a photo that they deem inappropriate for a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is on in your Instagram.
Yeah.
And then they've pulled that and put it on their company's Instagram to tell people, don't apply for jobs if you put photos like this up on Instagram.
This is the exact quote.
Please read it.
It says, PSA, and then in parentheses, because I know some of you applicants are looking at this, do not share social media with a potential employer if this is the kind of content on it. I am looking for a professional marketer, not a bikini model. Go on with your bad self and do whatever in private, but this is not doing you any favors in finding a professional job.
Okay, look, I put a lot of thought into this over the past, since I texted you yesterday, about what it could have been. You know what I mean? Like, what is it that photo she saw and she went, nope, fuck this bitch. And she had to take it and put it up. Because it's like, dude, it's a pretty standard pick. Like, you've got some underboob going. Now Whoopi Goldberg has seen that underboob.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy too, honestly. We'll get into that
later.
We'll get to the view later, but that was crazy too. But yeah, I mean, I have no idea.
What the fuck could have happened here?
I don't know. And I actually talked with someone earlier, and they asked, they go, do you think if you didn't have that photo on your Instagram, they would still would have called you out? And I honestly think because of how many photos I do have on my Instagram, and she called me a bikini model or implied that I was.
Right.
She could have picked any of them.
Oh, she would have found something else.
So she just picked that one.
She doesn't like the vibe of your entire fucking account.
No, not at all.
And she doesn't like that you put up pictures of you in a bikini.
Mm-mm.
Now, so we're still in this. Okay, now let's talk about the view. First, from there, I guess we're going to have to skip around a little bit.
That's fine. I'm totally fine with that because I feel like there's so much to cover. Anyways.
I assume you noticed this and you immediately, you tweeted about it, right?
Are you talking about the view?
No, I'm sorry. Forget I said anything about the view.
Okay.
I'm killing you, Clow. Okay, so you noticed the Instagram stories, and you're obviously fucking, I can only imagine.
I couldn't really process it. I was so taken back that,
Because that's shocking.
It was, and I didn't really know what to do, and so I didn't want to be that... I didn't want to be that bitch that immediately called them out.
Like,
I
kind of freak out about it.
Yeah, so I kind of like sat back and thought about my options and what would be right, what would be wrong, and like how to go about this. And so I DM'd them off of that story actually and said, I archived the photo. I appreciate your advice. And after that, I sent an email to them to prove that I was professional. That was what I was going in my mind. I was like, you know what? I'm going to send an email and prove her wrong. Like, I'm a professional person.
I'm going to show her.
Yeah, I have a really good cover letter, and I know—
Just for the record, it was a woman that did this, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming. I mean, I don't know who's behind it. It was the company. So it could have been a guy, but from what I assume, I don't think it was.
Yeah, it'd be a really catty move by a dude.
Yeah, I think so too.
Not that there aren't catty dudes out there. It's just way less likely.
And I sent an email saying, I think I actually have that too. Let's look at that.
Fucking A, pull it up. And
I got all the receipts.
Clown keeps receipts. You're a pro.
I worked for TFM, didn't I?
We taught you well.
Oh, yes, you did. I said, hi, I recently applied for the marketing coordinator position with your company. I have attached my resume and cover letter for your convenience. I hope to hear from you soon. I understand you're looking through applications today. P.S. Please take down the picture of me from your Insta story. Thank you for understanding.
That's all you said?
That's all I said in the email.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, and
you're
I was
a very
like,
nice person.
It was nice, short, professional, and basically was
I would have been at the door.
Yeah.
At the door.
Yeah,
with a bat.
Yeah. And so I tried to take the high road. I really tried.
Okay. So you send that. What happens in response?
And then she responds to me and says, "You are welcome." This is back on my Insta DMs.
Okay.
So this isn't from the email. Didn't respond to the email at all. She goes, "You are welcome. Remember that everything that you put on social is public and future potential employers will see it. Best of luck in your job search." So at
she's like talking down to you.
Yeah. So at this point, it's implied that I got disqualified.
Right.
So
you're not getting the job.
So that's what's funny is what she's quoting is saying that I wasn't ever disqualified. But with that DM, kind of showed. And I did
that
not say anything.
That implies you're not getting
the job. And I never said anything derogatory towards them at this point. I just asked to take down the story.
And that was it.
That was it. And I was like, "I appreciate your advice." I even complimented what she did.
Well, but you can already feel the defensive energy on their half.
Like, yeah. And so I just was like, you know what? Like, this is just where I'm going to lay down the line. So I put my little grand X behind me and I was like, "I'm aware of that as I worked with social media for 2 years. I didn't realize wearing a bathing suit and appreciating my body made me unprofessional. I know I did and, guys. I know it's not an out. I'm sorry.
It happens.
I totally messed up."
It's called a spelling error.
It's a spelling error. It was my autocorrect because it happened twice. I know this, guys.
It's the heat of the moment.
Honestly, I was kind of seeing red, but I controlled myself. I was proud of myself. But I said, "Most employers and companies, especially those who work with marketing, have that understanding. I am disappointed to see a company I was very interested in decided to go out of their way to shame an applicant. As you will see in an email I sent to hey@kickass.com. Oh, I probably shouldn't put that on here, but
I can beep it out if it doesn't matter. Yeah, Mike, edit out the part where she was saying
It was on their website, so it doesn't.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah.
Keep going.
"I have included my resume cover letter and politely asked you to take down the story." Their response back to both of those messages, which were back to back, was "best of luck." So that confirmed that I was disqualified.
And which again is sort of like, it's almost like they were angry with you or something.
Like, yeah, it's like they were mad.
That's a defensive energy. They're not saying anything else. Mm-mm. "Best of luck" is not a response. That's fuck you.
Yeah. And so after that, I said, "take down the story." And as soon as I said, "take down the story," they blocked me.
Wow.
And so at this point, this is when I was like, I already had tweeted my original tweet, the one that talked about objectifying, before she even responded, "best of luck."
Okay.
So that was out there, and I did not mention the company at that time. Okay. I was just talking about, I just wanted to put that out there and start a conversation about
like how ridiculous it was.
Yeah, and that's what the point was from the get-go, was like, this is ridiculous. No applicant for a company that obviously was interested in me
right.
Would treat me like this. And then as soon as that happened, I was like, I have nothing to lose.
And you just said, fuck it.
And so that's when I posted on my story and I tagged them and said, I was like, "this is inappropriate and unprofessional to shame your applicant." I think on social media. I think that on your social media. I don't have the actual screenshot. It's out there somewhere.
That's pretty much what you said.
Yeah. And then at that point, I took their screenshot from the story that I had, put it underneath my first tweet and tagged Kickass.
Okay.
And then a little bit later after that, I was like, let's just see the bio of this company. Because I was getting so many DMs like, what is this company? What is a mastermind? And
right.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to look it up. And so I looked them up on LinkedIn. Thank God I did, because I have that receipt too. And I put it and I read it. And I mean, let's just point out some of the things that—
Please read this. It's like literally makes it all the more— If it's not already enough to be the most hypocritically infuriating thing of all time, this is like the fucking icing on the cake.
Yeah.
So read it.
So it's a Kick-Ass Mastermind matches and manages mastermind groups for rebellious business owners.
That wasn't actually, you have said nothing so far.
Yeah.
That is nonsense words for a nonsense company. Go ahead.
Those who have a hunger to call the shots in their life and business and want to be around others in mastermind who crave this too. They are rebelling from the traditional way of earning a living because they've lost faith in corporate America, which was a quote.
Jesus, fuck.
They yearn for freedom and are ballsy enough to chase after it. They are smart enough to know that they can't go at it 100% alone, probably because they've tried and had their ass handed to them.
Cloud, you can be ballsy. You can't be titsy.
You can't be titsy.
You can be ballsy. You cannot be titsy.
That's great. I didn't even put two and two together. That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
And I would say ass handed to them. They want other like-minded people to have their back when shit gets tough in their quest for personal and money freedom. Kick-Ass Masterminds will help you have a breakthrough year in your business by matching you with other like-minded entrepreneurs and mastermind group. So entrepreneurs, startups, that's where that came in. But yeah, so
if you were ever going to find a company that was putting off a vibe that, hey, we're probably okay with swimsuit pics on Instagram, this would be it, right?
Right. And so that's why I added it. And like, I was like, this is fucking ridiculous considering. And I let it sit for a while, and I know the timeline right now in my top of my head. I let it sit for a while, and by the time I posted the LinkedIn one is when I was like, okay, what's one account that I could send it to that could really make, like, do some work on it? And She Rates Dogs, which was one I followed for probably at least 6 months, they basically call out people who are just, I don't even know, like, just ridiculous. That's
it's
the best
not
way.
Related to dogs?
No.
Oh.
Dogs are men is what they are. Yeah. So it's, I don't know if you know We Rate Dogs.
Yeah. So it's
so
a play on that.
It's okay. A play on that. So She Rates Dogs.
I was so confused for a second. I was
yeah,
like,
I know. Dylan talked about that. I was like, oh, I probably should have told him before he went. But yeah, it's like.
Yeah, I was fucking confused.
They talk about, like, it's mostly men and, like, how they treat women, like, on Tinder or, like, their Tinder bios. And it's so hilarious. I recommend looking
okay,
at it.
Okay, I will.
It, I mean, you're just like, what is going through their mind? But anyways, so I was like, you know what, I'm going to send it to her. And then, so I sent it to her around, like, I think it was like 1:45 p.m. And that's when I posted the LinkedIn bio to my Twitter thread. And then, or tweet thread. And then she responded at 2:21 and she tweeted it. And that's when it took off. It went so astronomically far at this point.
I'm sure hour by hour, you're like, because it's just getting more and more retweets, more and more people replying to you, tagging you, following you on Instagram, commenting on the original picture, liking your photos, like all your social media shit's getting the result of this, right?
Well, it's worse today than it was then, but yes.
And as I told you before we started, today will not be the worst of it. It will get worse from here because they talked about you on The View this morning.
Yeah. But
That's The View.
Speaking of The View in general, though, what was so amazing to really see is just the outward support. I don't know.
The outpouring of support.
Thank you. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I'm brain dead.
No, it's my job. It's my job. I'm supposed to help.
I'm brain dead. I'm sorry, guys. I've been on phone calls all day.
Don't apologize to us, Clow.
I'm getting called out for my grammar. I need to be somewhat intellectual.
Okay.
But the support was unreal. I did not get a lot of people saying, like, of course you should have been shamed for this. Like, I probably got one out of 500 at that time. Right now, it's probably one out of 5,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's a big step because, honestly, if you did this shit 8 years ago, any support. People would have been like, well, you fucked up. You shouldn't have had your boobs out on Instagram. What the hell's wrong with you?
And that's why, I mean, that was my goal to really, why I considered sending it to She Rates Dogs is not only was I wanting to shed light on the fact that I was mistreated by a potential employer, but like how nowadays, in my generation alone, how social media should not correlate with your work
at all. And that's a totally fucking different ballgame than it, like when I was in college.
Oh, yeah.
It was very much, you better be clean about your social media. Clean out your tweets. Clean out your Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Everybody was always freaking out about their pictures and shit. Listen, fam, everybody's photos and shit are everywhere. Your professional life and your Instagram page have absolutely nothing to do with each other unless they do. If they don't, they don't. And in this case, they didn't.
And honestly, I'm not going to lie. I don't have a lot of bad stuff. Excuse me. I don't have a lot of bad stuff on my Instagram. Like, yeah, there's alcohol in it, but I'm 24. It's not like I'm underage.
Right.
So I'm sorry if I have a mimosa sitting in the background. But sure. I really don't have anything. Besides my bathing suits, I don't have a lot of showy outfits on there. I don't have a lot of cuss words. Like, maybe there's some comment. I comment someone back.
But even beyond that, that's not the point. Is it shouldn't matter if you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, that's,
frankly,
I mean, yeah,
what you
back
do
to
with
that.
Your fucking personal time and what you wear outside of the office is nobody's goddamn business.
And yeah, but I'm saying even though, but it's the reason why I also want to pick up on it is even though we're in that generation that we shouldn't have social media correlate with work ethic.
Sure.
I know a lot of people still kind of censor theirs. And that's I mean, you have a right to censor. And I think that no one wants to see you drunk on Sixth Street as a picture.
Yeah, sure. Be careful in how you represent yourself always, of course.
Yeah, I think back to the original point is you should never be judged for what you do outside the office as your work ethic. Like, they had no idea how productive I could have been or
honestly,
how well I was on the job.
Okay. Even if we want to say we're still in a world where you have to be careful what you put on your social media because potential employers judge you off of that, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Let's say we're still there, which I don't think we are. I think we've moved past that.
I think we really have. I think y'all and a bunch
but
of other...
But then, dude, the company still skipped 50 fucking steps they could have taken in between what they did and reality. Like, they could have called you and said, Emily, we were reviewing your... Or, I don't know, had a conversation, anything but what they did. Screenshotting your fucking picture, putting it on their company's personal... I'm sorry, not personal.
Public.
Corporate fucking page, mm-hmm. and then writing a caption and shaming you for it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, I would think any other company, which I bet there's some companies out there that have rejected me or denied me and said,
I'm
no,
sure,
we don't.
Sure, but like...
But they didn't tell me,
shame me. In Austin, in marketing, it just isn't something you expect to see. So in that, I mean, yes, it like, this has kind of played out in a cool way. Right, because
yeah, it's really sparked a conversation, which I'm trying to tell people is that I don't really care that it's me. Like, yeah, that's cool, but I'm more excited to see how this conversation continues.
It's an important thing.
Yeah, it's huge.
I think for you having such a good understanding of social media, having worked in social media for as long as you have, having been around people like me who have been in it for even longer, like you have a really good understanding for it, and you see that like this is still a problem. Like,
yeah.
This is problematic that people are still using that type of, because imagine it this way. Think about all the times people get judged for and don't get jobs for pics like that where this shaming story thing doesn't happen.
Yeah.
They just don't get the job.
Exactly.
That's still wrong.
I know. But the thing is though, I had to make this point. They handled it very, very, very inappropriately. They could have just passed on me and just not said anything or not post me. But also the fact that companies do also judge you on your social media.
It's fucked up.
It's not fair. It really isn't. And I think, there are certain companies I can see that definitely be like,
because,
we don't want you representing
them. Here's the thing. Every single one of us, if we want to sit here and pretend that our social media is somehow a representation of us as a human being.
No.
And if you want to pretend that like... people with clean Instagrams and only pictures of their family and their dogs are better people than people who show underboob at the fucking pool. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. There are people that only have the Bible as the photo on their Instagram that commit murder and shit. Like, people are fucking crazy. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
My Instagram is not representative of who I am as a person. It's
no.
A fucking social media account.
And like, my most degenerate friends are the ones that have the least amount of photos on their Instagram, and they're clean and they're nice.
Yes, dude.
And they're the craziest people. I'm just like, what?
I got boys
insane.
With jobs and arenas that don't even allow, like, it's not even that they don't have social media because they're being safe. It's because they don't give a fuck about social media. But they do things on a regular basis that if in any way, shape, or form could be captured on social media, the world would explode. People do horrible things and good things, and they don't happen to be seen on social media. I get upset about a lot of shit.
This is something to be upset about.
But this
though.
Is this was like a next level. I was like, I can't believe this happened to Clow.
I mean,
to someone I know. This is hilarious.
But I love that though, because the best part about it happening is that I have so many people like you and like Rachel who wrote for the Betches article.
Yes.
Yeah, I have so many people who are willing to spread what I'm trying to spread.
Yeah.
And that's what's great. I'm kind of glad it was me because that way I could spread the message in a good light.
And here's where you deserve a lot of credit. You handled it very, very well.
Thank you.
Because if you had flipped out or done anything that I would have done, like tell them to go fuck themselves or suck your cock or whatever, like that would have ruined it. Then you wouldn't have been able to be saying, hey, guys, look at this. This is not right.
Yeah.
How people are being treated this way and judged this way about bathing suit pictures on an Instagram account. You wouldn't have been able to pull any of that off. So good for you for having the self-control to realize, like, I need to be calm here and just send this message to let them know, like, I can't believe you had one sentence. Please take down the Instagram story.
Yeah, I mean, I think how... Sorry, my voice is giving out. I think how I was raised is to always think about it as if someone else saw this and it came back to you, how would you feel? And I think that kind of was my mindset, was like, if someone screenshot what I said and sent it to someone else, how would I feel? And so that's why I kind of wanted to make sure that in the sense I was getting my point across, but not attacking them and basically saying, this is not fair, and not, but also not being like big fuck you to them.
That's a big lesson here too, though, because there are still going to be situations like this that we have to correct coming up over the next like fucking 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
As we continue to rip down some of these like weird social media and social walls.
The damn cloud.
Yes. And you gotta remember, people, like this that's part of the takeaway here is you gotta look at the big picture and maintain your cool when you're reacting. Otherwise we lose the ability to take a step forward because of your weird situation. So like in this situation, you allow us to take a step forward by handling it with some class.
Thank you.
So good for doing that. I want to talk about The View before you leave. We keep talking about, we're going to talk about it, and then we don't. So I watched the clip. It's like, I don't know the names of the ladies on The View anymore. I know Whoopi.
And Meghan McCain's the blonde.
She's the one that went to crazy town for you.
She went to bat for
you.
Me. Yeah, she definitely did.
I mean, she
did.
Went ham.
Yeah, she definitely
was like,
did.
I would hire this girl to work for, like, I mean, she went off. It was awesome. All of them had a good general perspective, I think. But it was just, it's crazy to see Whoopi Goldberg pull up a photo of Clow behind her and start talking about
my
this
underboob.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. What are your parents thinking today? Are they just like...
At first, my mom called me and goes, should you take down all your bikini pics? I go, Mom, you're missing the point.
No, but that's... Yes, yeah. That's what they want you to do.
Yeah, and I told her, I was like, you're missing the point. I explained it to her. And what's funny is my dad was the one who was actually supported from the get-go.
Nice.
And I think that was really cool. It was like, I would think it was opposite because, I mean... My mom, you would think my mom, I'm not saying she's not supporting me. I just thought it was funny.
Just stereotypically, you would think the opposite.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, and it's not like she's not supporting me. It's just funny because she was like, should you take them all down? I was like, no.
She's trying to protect you.
Yeah, she was. And she had good intentions.
Yes.
But they actually are super supportive. I mean, they're getting calls on our home phone for about this. So
oh, God.
My mom is like, should I answer? I go, no, do not answer. And I had to like reach out to my family. I actually started a family group text. I go, if you get reached out by a reporter, do not say anything because it will have some backlash on me.
Right.
Just say to contact me.
Right.
Because anything could be said and be spun.
And like I said, it's just going to, that's the snowball, right? So yeah. Like once like somebody is savvy enough, like The View, to pick it up and show, because it's a perfect sort of encapsulation of this problem that still exists.
And it happens, I honestly think it happens more with women than men, but obviously it does happen with them too.
Oh, it happens much, much more with women.
Yeah, right. But...
If I had to guess, yeah.
I think that's what's great is that it's showing that women do support women and not all women are going to shame you on their company Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as a man, it was also like, shit, it's shitty that there are still women who shame women, too, though.
And, I mean, I read off the bio of their company. You would think they'd be more supportive. And so it was...
I mean, that was the part that bummed me out.
It disappointed me. It made me really disappointed because I thought that they'd be a company that would see past what I was posting on my socials and be really supportive and want to get to know me and see my work ethic and know about my work experience and talk with past employers. But instead, they went and just judged me from one single picture.
How funny is it that the karma fucking energy of it, it just works. How it just ends up working in your favor because you handled it correctly, though. Like, that's the funniest part about it is that it's like sort of the big life. If you want to take a life lesson from it, it's like, if you treat people correctly and don't be an asshole, even if somebody's dumping on you, somebody takes a shit on you, and you try your best to be nice to that person while the doo-doo is dropping, you're going to be so much better off. Like, you just will be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I think in daily life as well, you need to think about is whatever you say to someone can come back to you.
For sure.
And basically label you. But I think, especially with our day and age of technology, you need to be careful what you tell other people because it can haunt you for life.
Yeah, texts and emails and shit and the kind of, I mean, it really is. It sucks that,
it
that
really
that's
does.
The case. It fucking
like,
sucks.
There's no privacy anymore, but we're not going to get into that.
We'll get to a point, I think, where like the stupid, because like we had that kid get in like a fucking, he had tweets from when he was 16 years old that he got in trouble for.
Yeah.
There's shit, people get roasted for the dumbest shit these days. We'll get to a point where that lesson is learned too, though, and we stop ruining people's lives for tweeting the homophobic slur that starts with F when they were 12.
Yeah.
Because that's not a reason to ruin a fucking person's life.
And I think what's good, though, is that because of situations like mine, it's shedding more light on the situation so that we can continue to learn and talk about it and really figure out what's the best way to approach situations.
And that's really the only way to do it, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I want to, like, I always try to reiterate is, like, I am so happy that I was able to spark the conversation because I feel like if it happened to any other applicant, this would not be what would happen. I feel like I'm not going to say, I don't even know who the person would have been, but I feel like she would have not had the, I guess, I don't know, the
self-control.
I not self-control, but mindset to be like, hey, this is not okay. I'm going to not shame you. I'm going to call you out.
The experience, like you have the experience working in this realm,
yeah,
with us for years at Grand X, that sort of allowed you to see how
powerful social media is.
Yes, and how to properly handle it. Because how many times did you see people fire messages at us, take down this picture right now, or I'm going to sue your dicks off? And we'd be like, man, fuck you.
Well, it's not
if
even
you,
that.
If you, you ask nice, we'll take it down immediately.
Well, like, then most of the time with that, I'd be like, well, you told us we could tag you, so.
Well, and no. just to be clear, this was people sending in photos of themselves and then later changing their minds, like, oh, I don't want this up or whatever. And sometimes,
yeah.
And just to be clear, we took down every single photo anybody ever asked us to take down ever.
Even if they were mean about it.
Because, yes, even if they were mean about it, because it just wasn't worth the hassle. And obviously, we didn't want to hurt anybody. Just be nice to people. It's not that fucking hard. Clout, good for you for handling
it
the way that you did.
I really appreciate it. I'm really glad I got to talk to you more about it. I feel like I've done so many calls and more written articles, and so to be able to actually have an active conversation about it and really discuss what's going
relief?
On. I do. I feel like there's so much weight lifted off
pump?
My shoulder. Yes.
We're doing it. Seriously.
But I think I tweeted this to Rachel. I was like, the power of social media is unfathomable.
Throw out your social medias. What's your Instagram? Give us your Instagram and your Twitter.
This is funny. It's Cloud9. So it's CLOWD_NINE.
Clever girl.
I've had it since high school. Don't make fun of me.
It's good.
And then my Twitter is at Emily E. Clow. No, it's at Emily E. Clow. I think that's what it is. Because I've had that from high school, too.
Well, Clow's great on all social. I've followed it for a long time. And at no point have I found myself offended by anything she was wearing.
You probably saw some drunk tees before I started working for y'all, but that was about it.
It's possible that I've creeped back there at some point.
Oh, yeah. I think Dylan has, too. So, and maybe Dave, just to make fun of me. But
We all have.
Yeah.
But Clow, thank you for taking the time today. It means a lot, for real. And again, congratulations on handling a pretty shitty and shameful situation with some class and some dignity. Good for you.
Thank you.
RBP228 is also brought to you by Felix Gray. Felix Gray is badass. They're actually our first ever sponsor on twitch.com/BossRoland too, supporting the Boss Roland element of Bolin Media as well. I fucking love these guys and their glasses, and you need this. Listen up. You may not realize it, but the average American blasts their eyes every day 11 hours every day. When you consider how much our day revolves around devices, that really doesn't seem that crazy, does it? You're staring at a TV or a computer or a phone at every waking moment of my entire day. I am anyway, I can promise you that. The fact is, we can't eliminate extensive screen time from our lives, but we can protect our eyes from it with a pair of Felix Gray blue light filtering glasses, available in both non-prescription and prescription. The majority of Americans live with tired eyes and dry eyes and blurry vision and headaches, and all this is caused by screens and blue light. And if it sounds familiar to you, sure as hell does to me, then Felix Gray glasses can help. They filter out 90% of high-energy blue light. They eliminate 99% of glare coming from your daily barrage of screens. Unlike other blue light filtering glasses, they're actually using proprietary blue light technology embedded into the lens, as opposed to cheap coating that can easily chip or scratch over time. Felix Gray is on a mission to make fashionable, high-quality blue light protection widely accessible by offering a variety of frames for all face shapes and style preferences. I have the Faraday frames in black. I wear them every night now when I game because my fucking eyes are worn out. Some nights, like yesterday, for example, I didn't have my contacts in all day. I had my Felix Grays on. Then I had contacts in for a few hours while I was gaming. After gaming, it felt so good to take my contacts out and put my Felix Grays back on. The relief is almost instantaneous. It will melt your brain. It's crazy. Felix Grays are handcrafted from the same high-quality materials used in high-end designer frames like organic Italian acetate, German-engineered steel. Their glasses are available in non-prescription, prescription, and readers, as well as adult and kid sizes. Don't go another day looking at screens without the help of some Felix Grays. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/RBP for free shipping and 30 days of risk-free returns or exchanges. That's felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. FelixGray glasses.com/RBP. And that will actually do it for today's show. But before you head out to take on the world, it's time for some very important announcements. First and foremost, we got a lot coming this October, folks. If the first 3 days have not been any indication to you, excuse me, my brain is very low power now. It's beyond 5 p.m. It's beyond Thunderdome. A lot of RBP coming this month. If you want more, and if you want all of it, there's only one place to ensure that that happens. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, right? This is where you get the ad-free, extra, exclusive episodes that are available nowhere else each month. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Our hotline call extravaganza for October, which is comprised entirely and driven by hotline calls from you, our listeners, the RBP gang, that already dropped. It's available right now. You could listen to it immediately after this podcast if you wanted to. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Pay your dues. Join the RBP gang. It's $5 a month. Super simple. That's nothing. $5 is nothing. If you're like, $5, it's five. $5 is the new dollar. You hand a homeless person a dollar, they throw that shit back at you. And Dave Chappelle made that joke on Chappelle's show when it was on the air. And that was a really long time ago. So now $5 is like a quarter for a homeless person. Are you telling me I'm not even worthy of a homeless person's love and care to you? Is that what you're saying? $5? Or join the OG tier and throw me $100 a month if you've got the baller cash like some of you do. Shep does. Fuck. Hell. Shep. Let me catch a hundy. Let me catch a hundy a month for a full year. Hotline Call Extravaganza for October is already available. We've got a special guest episode coming. I can't remember if it's next week or the week after that. In October at some point. Another great special guest. Every month on Patreon, we do a Hotline Call Extravaganza. We do a special guest. And then we do some columns and shit, too. It's good fun. And the great news is, I also just got Twitch. So twitch.com/BossRoland is where you can find my Twitch feed. I'm going to be doing streaming video of not just me playing video games, although there will be quite a lot of that, but also cool stuff like perhaps we'll find a way to incorporate some RBP. Maybe we'll find a way to incorporate it. Yeah? You know? No, but in all seriousness, we're going to do cool stuff on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast with Twitch. They have Twitch plugins and capabilities, so that'll be another cool thing you can get out of Patreon, and only on Patreon right there. Also, should mention, you get the entire backlog of content if you signed up right now for October. So not only are you going to get that Hotline Call Extravaganza immediately, you're going to get everything I've ever put up on Patreon. That's a lot of shit. Example, last month's guest was a director of my favorite art gallery in Austin, the AO5 Gallery, Mr. Todd Gressley. Before that, my grandma the month before that. Fantastic. Before that, Cypher PK, one of the biggest Fortnite athletes in the world. I'm not fucking around here. It's good shit. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. You'll notice either of these two episodes, or either of these two interviews today would have been more than worthy of Patreon. But I've got somebody in mind for y'all this month. Somebody special for this month. Special. I'll never say special again. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have even tried it. You've got two legal obligations you've been saddled with as a result of having listened to this entire podcast. First and foremost, you must rate and review. And not just anywhere. You got to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Okay? If you listen on Spotify or SoundCloud, I love you. I appreciate you. Keep doing you. But I need your rating and your review on Apple Podcasts. Don't ask why. Don't make me explain. Just do it. 5 stars, 2-3 sentences about why you love the show. Bada bing, bada boom. Check the box. We all live long and prosper. I don't have to see you in court. I call out the dogs. It's all good, baby. It's all good, baby, baby. The other obligation, you must tell one friend, family member, coworker, neighbor, any one individual about the Ross Bolin Podcast. You think this person might enjoy the show off the top of your head? Think of one person right now in your head. Who one of my good friends that would enjoy RBP? Now get that name in your head. Hold it there. Now, what's the most strategic way you could share that show with that person? Is it Spotify? Are they a Spotify person? Do they have Spotify? Send them your favorite episode on Spotify. Are they huge on Instagram? Do they really like Instagram? Tag them in your favorite most recent Instagram post at the Ross at Ross Bolin Pod, or at the Ross Bolin Podcast on Instagram. Sorry, at Ross Bolin Pod on Twitter. You do this, you fulfill your legal obligation, share the show with one person this week, one person next week, one person every week until the week you die, and you'll be up to date with me. Those are your two legal obligations. Thank you. Where else? We're on Facebook if you're the middle-aged aunt of one of our listeners. You can follow me, Ross Bolin, at WRBOLEN on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, at WRBolin on all three, and as I mentioned, twitch.com/BossRolin for all things streaming video. That will do it for RBP 228, recorded and produced by Mike Moody and Grant Davis at Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. We'll be back Monday for episode 229. RBP 229 coming Monday. Podman gets paid. Strength and honor. Gang, gang, gang. Peace be with you and also with you.
The Ross Bolin Podcast.